Welcome to the first 2019 installment of Industrial Heating Magazine's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute with Bill Jones, CEO of the Solar Atmospheres family of companies, and host Jim Nagy, president of Solar Manufacturing. Solar Manufacturing is the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. This month's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast is entitled Vacuum Technology Part 2, Vacuum Leak Rate Testing. Here's our host, Jim Nagy, to introduce the topic of today's podcast.
With experience gained from over 50 years in the vacuum heat treating business, Bill Jones shares his valuable insight with our listeners of vacuum measurement and leak rate testing. It is essential to know that a production vacuum heat treating furnace is leak tight to provide the ideal environment or atmosphere for processing a variety of materials to achieve the desired metallurgical properties without surface contamination. This is especially important when processing sensitive materials like titanium. Knowing your vacuum furnace is tight allows you to operate the furnace with confidence for consistent and accurate results day after day. Of course, no vacuum furnace is absolutely leak-free, and every vacuum furnace operator will eventually experience some type of leak that will affect product quality or even damage the furnace hot zone resulting from the inrush of air. So in these two podcasts on vacuum technology, Bill explains how to measure vacuum pressure and how to detect a leak in a vacuum chamber. Today's podcast is part 2 of 2, exploring the basics of vacuum leak rate testing. Bill shares why it is important to perform a leak rate, what methods are used to perform a leak test, and where one should start. So let's listen to the conclusion of this two-part series on vacuum technology. Bill, as a follow-up to our last podcast regarding vacuum furnace leak rate testing, why is it necessary to perform a vacuum furnace leak rate test?
Well, thank you, Jim. The question deserves some thought. After a furnace leak rate test, if the leak rate fails, that is, let's say we have a leak rate that's severely over 30 or 40 microns an hour, then it's suspicious that the furnace may have a leak. The other condition, of course, is the furnace performing and producing bright work? If the furnace is performing bright work and the leak rate is within spec or just out of spec slightly, it may not be necessary to do a leak rate test. And you might consider a simple vacuum burnout, that is, taking the furnace up to a full temperature and then leaving it sit in the best vacuum possible and burn out the hot zone. What is not recommended is if you have a serious leak rate, that is, let's say a leak rate of 50 microns per hour or more, and then someone decides to sweep the pixie dust out of the furnace. And the way they want to do it is take it up to 2400 degrees or something like that and sit there for 24 hours. Now you're sitting at a very high temperature in a very potentially leaky furnace, and this can do a lot of damage.
Bill, what are the methods one could use to perform a vacuum furnace leak detection?
There are a number of methods that can be used. If you have a very serious leak, one could even use a medical stethoscope and go around the furnace various places and listen for the possibility of a leak. This would only be in the case of very serious leaks of the order of a couple of hundred microns per hour. One could pressurize the furnace to 5 pounds positive pressure, and then using a paintbrush and a soapy water can, what have you, brush a soapy water solution around the various suspected places and you will blow bubbles. And surprisingly, a water bubble check is quite sensitive and it is a very good potential leak detection method. The other method, of course, is to connect the furnace to using a helium mass spectrometer leak detector.
What is the most common instrument used for vacuum furnace leak detection?
Yes, Jim. As I mentioned, the most common instrument would be a helium mass spectrometer. And the mass spectrometer is connected to the furnace. You pump the furnace down, and the leak detector, of course, is pumped down. And what you do is to use a fine spray of helium around the furnace and listen for the leak detector to respond. Most of the leak detectors have an audio response as well as a visual indicator. So the most common instrument is a helium mass spectrometer.
Where should one start, and where are the most common leaks found?
One should start by testing the leak detector itself. That is, you ensure that the leak detector is pumped down and calibrated using a standard calibrated leak that is available and that it is, in fact, operating properly. Then you spray a little bit of helium into the leak detector itself and make sure that the leak detector is working. The next thing to do is to check the connections from the leak detector over to the furnace and make sure those connections are tight. Then one can proceed from there.
Prior to starting a helium mass spectrometer leak test, where would one suspect a leak to occur?
Before starting an actual helium mass spectrometer leak test, one would want to think about what was done to the furnace previously. For instance, it's normally good practice that the leak rate would be taken weekly. And if one could see a slow change, rise in the leak rate, then something is going on. Some seal is wearing or something. So rotating seals, like in a motor or in those areas, would be a good place to start. On the other hand, if the leak is a sudden event, one should think about possibly what was done to the furnace last. For instance, were the thermocouples changed? Was there some other change to the furnace? So one should always go back to the last thing that was performed. Otherwise, the most common leak in a furnace is actually the main door O-ring seals. And probably one should pull the O-ring out, look at it, clean it, put it back in again, or if it's flat, which is often the case, put in a new O-ring. Most door O-rings should be replaced about once every 6 months. And there are other regular maintenance items, such as the main high vacuum valve seal and so forth, that should be under regular maintenance. And these are places for common leaks. So these areas are the kind of places that one would first check with the helium mass spectrometer. Otherwise, if those things have already been considered, one would start by spraying helium around the higher elevations of the furnace. Since helium is a light gas, if you spray around the bottom, helium will rise and it could give you a false indication down around the bottom of the furnace. So starting at the top, it's a very insignificant sort of suggestion, but that is what we do. And if there's no indications up at the top, then you start to come down. In the beginning, one can use a fairly heavy spray of helium until you hear the leak detector go off. And then you can slow down the helium spray and to try to segregate where that actual leak is occurring.
Previously, Bill, you spoke about connecting the helium leak detector to the furnace. Would you like to comment on how that is done?
Depending on the vacuum performance, depends where and how you might connect the leak detector. For example, if the furnace will not pump down, say the furnace has a serious leak somewhere and you can't locate it by other means, and let's say the furnace will not pump down below one torr or 1,000 microns. The main vacuum pump is running, the roots blower is running, but it will not pump down below one torr. This means there is a very serious leak. Under these conditions, depending on how the leak detector is connected to the furnace, you may not be able to get the throttle valve open enough. That is, the valve connecting the leak detector to the pumping system, which is the best place to connect it. And that is, the best place is between the blower, the roots blower, and the main mechanical pump. So that's the normal place one would connect. However, the pressure at that point may be 10 or 15 torr, and you could only crack the ball valve, which is the normal method of valving in the leak detector, and you can only crack it slightly. So it's very difficult to get the leak detector to come on scale where it will function. So in that case, you can connect a small needle valve between that pumping port connection and the leak detector and crack the needle valve and just open the valve enough so that you can bring the leak detector on scale but not swamp it with gas or air, as the case may be. Now, a caution, that is, one never wants to connect the leak detector directly to the chamber itself, because the main pumping system, and let's assume you have a decent vacuum, that is, you're say 1 × 10⁻⁴ with the diffusion pump. The diffusion pump, the Roots blower, and the mechanical pump are all pumping on the furnace, and your leak detector, if it's directly on the chamber, will have very little pumping capacity, so that the sensitivity will be off to the leak detector by a factor of maybe 1,000 to 1, which means that it's not the most sensitive place to put the leak detector. Again, the most sensitive place to connect the leak detector is downstream of the Roots blower, ahead of the vacuum pump.
Thank you for listening to another Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast with Bill Jones. This concludes our two-part series on vacuum technology. Look for our next podcast coming soon.
The Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcasts are underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. You can find us on the web at solarmfg.com. We have other valuable resources on vacuum measurement and leak detection on our websites available for download. In particular, our latest article entitled Vacuum Furnace Leaks and Detection Techniques, written by Bill Jones and Rial Ferdet, will be published in the June 2019 issue of Industrial Heating Magazine. This article will provide the finer details on the subject of vacuum measurement and leak detection. We also encourage our listeners to search the Resources tab on our websites for other technical resources available through the solar companies. Thank you for listening to another informative Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast.